Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hey everybody, how's it going?
Good.
Holla, bitches.
I'm stuffy.
Mmm.
Yeah.
I always thought you were more liberal than that.
I know.
I got one of those weird summer cold things.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I still contend you might be pregnant.
Mm.
Well.
It's an interesting hypothesis.
That means I'm a big cheater.
Although I did give a girl yesterday who's in high school some advice and said your mouth, your hand, and your butt can never get pregnant.
Wow.
Well, I actually gave it to her mom.
Wow.
To give to her daughter.
Mm. So just pass it along. You know, if I said that to somebody, hey, by the way, tell your daughter these three things.
You get punched in the face.
Oh, my God, yeah. It would be terrible. But Larry gets away with it.
Yay, gay card.
All right. Coming up this week, we have another episode of Bad Cop, Worst Cop. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
News from a Biggest Loser trainer. And, of course, remember last week we talked about the guy with 30 kids?
Yeah.
We have an update on him.
Really?
I'm shocked at the update.
31.
We'll have to wait and find out. That's coming up a little bit later on in the show. But first, let's start out with Larry. You wrote an article this week.
I did. I wrote an opinion piece.
Wow.
It was amazing. Based on a comment I wrote.
Larry had an opinion. I know. That's shocking, right?
An opinion about
shocking.
What?
About a very, very crucial, very crucial issue facing our local community involving parking in Midtown Sacramento.
Okay.
Because there are for those of you that are unfamiliar with Sacramento, we have this event called Second Saturday. Many cities have them where art galleries are open. But here in Sacramento, it's kind of just become a random street festival, see everybody, do everything kind of thing. And there are two kinds of, there are some residents in Midtown Sacramento who've lived here for several years, like 15, 20 years, who bought when the area was not as nice. And do not like when people come into their neighborhood and park. They don't like opening. They don't like when stores open. They don't like when bars open. And so they have proposed some new parking regulations that they're going to try out. And it was leading to this long conversation about parking. So I just wrote a comment that said, like, I moved here from D.C. and it makes me laugh when I hear about people complain about parking here because there's always parking within like 4 or 5 blocks. Always.
Right.
And so the editor was like, hey, that was really good. Can you write an opinion piece? So I did. And it was about addressing my two issues about parking. One, people who live in the suburbs who come in, who are afraid to come into Midtown because of parking or like, oh, I don't want to go into Midtown. There's just no parking. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that.
And I gave them some options. Like there's a parking garage at 17th Street that is $2, $2 on second Saturday for all night. And also how you can park several blocks away, but it might require you walking 4 to 5 blocks. And I was able to work in the term rabid unicorns.
He was. It was.
Wow.
It was well played, I thought. Because
mm-hmm.
It said, you know, you can park 3 or 4 or 5 blocks away and you don't have to worry. Contrary to public opinion, you don't have to worry about fighting off attacks from rabid unicorns. And also, you can take mass transit. We have a pretty decent light rail system here.
I prefer to walk a couple blocks anyway, because if you get too close, it's hard to get in, it's hard to get out,
exactly.
And there's too many people.
Exactly. And then I talked about my other main issue with people about parking concerns as longtime residents who feel that bars, restaurants, things opening, people coming in is a bad thing. I was like, we really should be celebrating, especially in this economy. This is a problem. And that, I'm sorry, but neighborhoods evolve and change. And just because you bought a house here 20 years ago and you don't like living in an urban area, because let's face it, you live in an urban area, it's not the suburbs. So if you're angry about people wanting to come in and park here, well, you're going to need to address that. No one's guaranteed, like, I feel empathy for them. I don't want to be mean, but like, just because you bought a house 20 years ago doesn't mean that you have the right to tell me, who's also a resident here, that I shouldn't be able to propose bars or whatever.
Well, we went to the River Cats last night, and we noticed that, A, it was really weird and hard to find the parking lots.
Yeah, they were not weird over there.
They were not well marked, and like one of them you had to go like through an alley and come around the back way, and we were a little bit early, so there wasn't like a line of traffic to follow yet. We couldn't figure out how to, we could see the lot, we just couldn't figure out how to get to the lot. But we noticed all the surrounding neighborhoods had signs that said no parking 2 hours before and after event.
Yep.
And I just thought, like, that's crazy. Like, there's nothing out here. Why would you care? But yeah. They don't want people on their street.
People get angry.
Well, they don't want people street parking. And I can understand that, because if everybody who's going to the River Cats game parks in front of your house, if somebody wants to come over and have dinner, they can't because there's no place to park. But in West Sacramento for the River Cats, there's tons of parking. There's a parking garage that usually goes to the Zagarit building that's open for parking there. There are tons of lots, both when you cross the Tower Bridge into West Sac on your right side and over on your left side, too.
Yeah, we found, I think we the one we found was on the right side from the bridge. We just came in from a weird angle, so it was hard to find our way to the lots. Once we found it, there was plenty of parking. Yeah. It was just, we were confused. And we noted that all the streets said no parking before and after events. We found parking fine.
And they had the free shuttles from downtown. That's what which is nice.
Yeah.
So you can drink.
There are tons of opportunities to get out to see the Sacramento River Cats over in West Sac.
We had a really wonderful time.
How was Manny Ramirez? I know Brandon Inge had a very big game.
He was amazing, that Inge guy. He was so fun to watch. He almost did everything you can do in a game. I don't know enough about baseball, but he had like a single, a double, a grand slam, a home run. He just had one thing that he didn't get.
Did he get a triple?
Yes. No. I think that was the one thing he didn't get. He had a single, a double, a home run, a grand slam where everybody got to go home.
Yeah, a grand slam is a home run with the bases loaded.
That's what he did.
Sure.
So he was a wonderful breakfast platter option at Denny's.
He did really well. He was so fun to watch.
Yeah, he's just down on a rehab assignment because he got hurt playing in Oakland.
He looks like he's ready to go back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oakland can need him.
How did Manny Ramirez do?
He did okay. He wasn't quite as exciting. I mean, but I think he got on base a couple times, but he was following Inge, so Inge sort of seemed to clear the bases out every time, and then Manny had sort of wasn't going into anything and didn't really have much following him, but he was fine. He was fun to watch.
Yeah, he's pushing 40. His second drug suspension will be up. Will be up on his 40th birthday.
The people watching though was like the best part. I mean, it always is. And we were kind of joking. I mean, we're horrible people, and I'm happy to admit it.
Going to hell.
And we were sitting in, I guess, what are considered like better seats, and they were more expensive seats.
Right.
You're so VIP.
And so, well, Paul really likes baseball, and I think his feeling was, if I'm going to go, I want to sit in a good seat and be able to really...
True, I get it.
We were talking about we were going to keep score, but then I don't know enough, and he spent so much time teaching me how to keep score, but then it was too late to keep score, but now I know how.
Oh, yeah, which is good.
But it was really fun, but there was a family in front of us, and there were like 9 of them. And so we kept joking, like, how do they afford these tickets? Because there were 9 of them, and they were all morbidly obese, including the children. Mm. And they ate every available snack available at the park. And the mother ate some of each person's snack along with her own snacks.
Nice.
And they were just fascinating. And then across, we were sitting right where the, I'm sure there's a word for it, the hole where the people, like the people that go out on the field and give away the free stuff, and the person that goes out and sings the national anthem.
Tunnel?
Yeah, like that spot. We were sitting right next to that, so you could look down into it. Mm. And then on the other side were the same seats as us on the other side. And there was a woman who was wearing like a surgical mask for a big part of the show.
Was she Asian?
Did you say for a big part of the show?
She did.
You mean game?
A big part of the game. Sorry.
You're gayer than I am.
Ace distracted me. And... No, she was not Asian. We thought she was Asian until she took her mask off. It turns out she was just mentally ill.
Oh.
And every time her husband, partner, whoever the guy with her walked away, she'd do something crazy. And at one point, she jumped up and was mad that people weren't dancing and started dancing like aggressive and angrily. And I videotaped it. It's online.
Nice.
Fantastic.
But I ate lots of good snacks, and I learned a lot about baseball.
Did you get a dinger dog?
No, they were huge. Too much. We got regular hot dogs and pretzels and cotton candy and peanuts and lots of beers.
You know, if you hadn't eaten all that junk food, you could have had the full dinger dog. We warned you it was big.
I know, but we wanted to try everything.
It's really big. Yesterday I was at the Yankees-A's game, which the game was fun. I was with a whole bunch of great people. It was great. There was a large group of people in front of us. We were in the third row. There were people in the 2 rows in front of us. And they were a group of people from Oroville, and it was some dude's birthday, and they were drunk. Like, they had tailgated and were wasted. And the girl, I was convinced, was going to fall on the field because she kept going right up to the thing.
Oh, my God.
So what's funny is, so this girl was drunk, and I kept trying to tell her to, like, to streak and run on the field, and she almost did it. But what's really sad is they had the binocular flasks that, you know, that instead of the I part, it's just liquor.
Yeah.
The dude's whose birthday it was, who was not that drunk, got busted by security because security saw him pouring it into his drink. And they took his ID and took it and kicked him out of the park.
Wow.
And it brought the energy level to the drunk people in front of us, like, dramatically down. The best thing, however, was when someone in our group got a drink and they were passing the change, the dude that sells the food that walks up and down. He passed the change and it fell. And the girl in front of us, who I just called drunk girl, was leaning all the way forward and she had a coin slot. No joke, 2 quarters fell right in her coin slot. And about, so we all laughed. They were really fun. About 10 minutes later, she stood up. Quarters fell out of the bottom of her pant, like out of her shorts. And we were like, ew, who's going to touch it? Who's going to get the change?
That is awesome.
But it was pretty awesome. And for... we kept saying what a beautiful day it was in Oakland, and we all were joking because we're like, that probably doesn't get said that much.
No, not.
And it wasn't scary. However, there were about 65% Yankees fans, which we were, who were at the game rather than A's fans.
That's the thing about going to the Coliseum in Oakland is the people who work as ushers and keep an eye on drinking and stuff like that. They're not really doing it to keep you from getting drunk. They're doing it to bust people from bringing in outside stuff. And last year when I went to a game, there was this sassy black lady who was doing it, and she caught the... That's all there are. And the guys behind us who were there for the game, and this is like first inning of a doubleheader, they're drinking beer in a bottle, which is just stupid. And she comes up to the guy and she goes, "Sir, where did you get that beer?" And instead of coming clean and saying, "I brought it in," and because then it would be like, "Well, you can't have that here, let me have it." Instead, he tried to lie. He goes, "Oh, I bought it at this stand here." And she's like, "No, you didn't." And he goes, "No, but I did." And he goes, and she's like, "No, because we don't sell bottles in the stadium." So first inning of a doubleheader, she calls security down. He gets walked out. But here's the fun part. He
got back in?
He did, yes. Because the security guard, while he was walking him out, goes, "Dude, I'm really sorry, but I have to do this because... you know, she would make a big deal about it if I didn't. But if you want to get back in, there are scalpers out in the parking lot right out there. Just get a ticket somewhere else in the park and come back in." And he did. It was really kind of amusing because he was in contact with his friends via cell phone. So they went and sat out with him in the outfield afterward.
That's funny.
But yeah, point of advice, if you're going to the Coliseum in Oakland, bringing in your own alcohol is a offense they'll throw you out for.
You know, the thing is, for me, just because I don't drink very much, I don't get the need or the excitement of it just because I'm not a drinker.
Well, Aza, like, can tell you why, because if you want a beer, draft is $8.75.
Well, yeah. I have friends that smuggle in beer to like every event they go to and go to concerts and they go to sporting events. I can just not and I'm fine.
Yeah, me too. The only difference for me is baseball games last like 8 billion years. And you can theoretically drink a lot there.
I don't understand
sneaking in beer. I think that's kind of ghetto. But I do can understand sneaking in liquor if you want to make mixed drinks. Because the bars available at the A's games aren't really that great.
But they do have a ton of different beer stands, which is the only cool thing about the Coliseum.
They do.
Is they've got literally about 20 or 30 different types of beer that you can get.
Wow.
So there, I've given props to Oakland.
Well, and you can bring in your own food and drinks.
Wow.
Into A's games, which is kind of nice because if you're a family, at least it makes it somewhat more affordable. Although ridiculous. Now, I know Northern California is expensive. $17 to park. $17.
Oh, just park at Barton, take the train.
Well, no, but we wanted to get in. So we did it. The thing that's great, though, is now they take credit card, which is awesome because who carries cash with them, especially if you're in Oakland. But imagine a parking lanes with people paying by credit card.
Nice.
Not exactly the most efficient use.
Well, 17 is not bad because the cheapest lot in San Francisco for a Giants game is 25.
Yeah, wow. That's San Francisco.
It's still the Bay Area.
Last night. Yeah. I mean, see, it was
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, the Angels, it's $8 to park at Angel Stadium. It's $10 at Dodger Stadium. So basically, it's supply and demand in the city that you're going in. But if you're in the Bay Area, you can take BART, and on the weekends, there's no parking. But if you're in a car with 4 people, it's actually cheaper to pay to park.
Right, and that's what we all talked about, because I went with a pretty decent group of people.
And the trip back on BART takes forever.
Yeah, no, thank you.
It's forever. It's like an hour, and you're packed in with a ton of people, and there's always... These are the people that are in every BART car. There's always some hipster dude in a tracksuit.
Awesome.
There is always a pair of Asian girls giggling about something.
100%. 100% on every BART train.
Speaking in some language that's not English, but they'll mix in some English here and there. And someone is passed out asleep.
That's so true.
Every single car.
And there's usually, especially if you're from the East Bay, there's always going to be a group of very multicultural looking people from Berkeley, and there's going to be one token white girl.
Yep.
Oh, inevitably. Like any group that's from Berkeley, there's always a token white girl.
Well, they have to have their white friend in case things get nasty, because they can go, hey, look, we're here with a white person.
And
it's
the
okay.
And the white girl's totally like, I'm so cool. Look at my diverse group of friends. Right. Guys. Seriously, like they're so diverse. Like I'm amazed. Wait till I tell my friends in Pasadena about it.
It's like an American Apparel ad, really.
It kind of is.
Ace so. Is manhandling me today.
Ace just went to second base with you.
He is. Well,
good lord. He's
Goto con botas.
Yeah.
My Spanish is amazing.
Did you guys see that I uploaded, if you are a subscriber
he's
on...
He's licking himself.
That's what cats do. If you're a subscriber on iTunes, I put up a bonus video of Ace playing and being cute on command for everybody to see. Now he's over in his new... I bought him a new Kitty City Tower. It's actually... That's the brand name, Kitty City.
Wow.
Oh, I want to work at Kitty City headquarters. Even though I don't, my allergies would go, like, into toxic shock. Ew, can you imagine all these, like, women that love cats with, like, sweatshirts with their cats and, like... I bet they can bring in their cats to work. Oh, my God. It's so many cats.
Wow. Don't have a panic attack, dude. It's okay. It's just a piece of modular cat furniture that
Speaking
I bought at Target.
Of animals, did you guys see the picture of my rat at work?
No, I didn't. You put this on Facebook that you were watching a bird feeder, but instead ended up watching rat. So what was up with that?
So right in front of my office, and it's really pretty and landscaped and stuff, we decided to, like around our building where the windows are, we decided to put like hummingbird feeders and regular bird feeders. So there's one of those ones that's just like, you know, it's like the shepherd's hook thing with a little thing hanging down with the seeds in it. And we watched this rat, and he like scaled up it, and he sat in the bird feeder, and he ate the seeds.
Ew.
So I went out and took a picture of him, and he was really cute.
You should have taken him home.
He was a little skittery when I went out to get close to him. He jumped down, and then when I went back away from it, he climbed back up to get seeds again. But I put a picture on my Facebook page.
Aww.
Nice. Share it on the group page. So okay. If people check out the Nate Darling Show page on Facebook, they can see your rat.
Did you see the other day I posted on the Nate Darling page? I don't remember what I wrote, but I was really excited. I wrote something really stupid.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember seeing that and I'm like, yeah, somebody else wrote something.
It was pretty exciting.
It's true. I have one thing. I went out today and I'm angry. I'm initially angry at hobos, but I'm not really necessarily...
No, that's not news.
I'm not necessarily angry at them. I'm angry at everybody who's a proprietor of a gas station or filling station, because all I want to do is put air in my bicycle tires. That's all I want to do. And at every gas station in Sacramento, there are at least two hobos hanging out by the air compressor. And all they're there to do is beg you for money. They're not there to just pass the time and while it away and tell wonderful, engaging hobo stories. No, they're there to go, hey, man, can you give me some money? Hey, man, can you give me some money? No, I'm not going to give you some money. And by the way, you're loitering. Get out of here, you deadbeats.
You are always so angry at the hobos.
Why are you so angry?
No, I'm angry at the people who allow them to loiter in places.
What do you think they should not have? They shouldn't have the right to sit there?
You don't have the right to loiter in places. And beg? No, you don't.
I think it's just really hard. Like, I know the AM/PM on J Street, they're always shooing them away, but I think it gets to be like flies in a bathroom in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the places that I was at where I saw it. I'm like, really? There's two of them?
Every time I've been there, though, they've always been shooing them away and telling them to leave. They're actually pretty good about it, and they won't let them come and try to, like, wash your windows or anything.
Generally, when I go, I give them a picture of you, and I say, can you guys wait till my friend Nate Darling comes? And can you say random things to him about
Vermont
cheese?
He's really into your alternative lifestyle.
He really respects your countercultural views.
They don't have countercultural views. They're just looking to get money to get drunk is really all it is. Honestly,
that's countercultural.
No, it's not countercultural. It's being a deadbeat hobo. That's really what it is.
Or they are being an entrepreneurial hobo.
No, they're not, because they're not doing anything to make money. They're just merely begging for money. Seriously,
I don't think I'd like to be a hobo. It seems like it's too much work.
I feel like I'd get dirty after a while.
Yeah, I'm too lazy.
Oh, you definitely get dirty. I can tell you that, because it's a dirty profession to be in.
We got a new grill today on a totally unrelated note.
Nice.
Oh, you should invite some hobos over.
Was it hard putting it together?
Paul did it within about an hour.
But
he's
very like
little,
super smart, yeah, though, about stuff like that.
Little swearing. He did a really good job. He took a picture of
did
it.
Did you baptize it yet?
We did.
What did you make?
Tonight we grilled... buffalo burgers.
Nice.
And mushrooms and corn. And that's what we had for dinner.
How are the shrooms?
They're good, man.
Last night, coming back from the game, I was like, all of a sudden, I got starving. First of all, we went to the we stopped at the outlets in Vacaville, and it was National Asian People Go Shopping Day.
Oh, let me hold on. Let me stop you right there. Let me break this to you gently. That's what goes on at that outlet. They have, if you notice, when you're walking around, the public address announcements are in various Asian languages.
It seriously is like Asian families go to outlet malls. It was fun. There were a lot of Indians too. There were tons of Indians. And so I was starving after we went shopping. Starving.
It does work up an appetite.
We stopped. Sure. We stopped at Tahoe Joe's, and it was awesome. I've never really been to Tahoe Joe's.
I don't think once. I have.
But we were deciding what to get, so we got like the largest cut of steak because it was called the Nebraska cut, and we were starving. So we both got it, and it came out, and it was one of those things that once you get it, it's a little bit embarrassing when they put it on your table. It's like, fuck, this is really big. So I only ate half of mine. But it was so good. I had a point to tell this story, but I don't remember what it was.
So Tahoe Joe's is like a steak place?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's tasty. Huh. And they had really good salads. Huh. Just a fun note, too. Our waitress was super nice. She was super nice, but a fat liar. Like, she wasn't fat, but she was a big fat liar. Because, do you know those, if you've ever waited a table, something you're always supposed to do is make people feel good about their orders. Like, oh, that's one of my favorite things to order. Or like, I got my salad. She's like, oh, that's the best salad. So then the people behind me, you had like a choice of like five salads with your dinner, and they ordered something different. She's like, oh, that's my favorite salad. It's really tasty.
You shouldn't do that with the other people right there.
I didn't want to call her out because she was so nice and it was great. But I was like, wow, she delivered, because I totally bought it. It wasn't like she was fake at all. She was like Celine Dion, like totally real, but totally fake. And I was just like, wow. Because you know how I think Celine Dion's the best liar in the history of the world, but she's amazing, so you don't care.
Yeah.
But like literally, and then they, I got a potato, which I didn't want to eat the potato, but I just wanted, because they put stuff on it at your table. And all I wanted was the bacon and sour cream and cheese, because that's all I was going to eat, not the potato. So I did it. And I was like, oh, no scallions. She's like, oh, that's the best way to get it. Oh, and then God. No joke, behind me, the woman gets scallions and butter. And she's like, oh, that's the best way to get it. I almost at the end want to be like, I know you're lying. I don't care, but you're a lying bitch.
I'm like a professional liar. Like, I can't help myself. Like, not like big lies, but I'm one of those people that I was trained from a young age as a female that you're always supposed to make men feel better about themselves. And I find myself saying things to guys to make them feel better. We were playing bocce the other day and in my league, and the guy I was playing with was not very good, but he was also very angry about not being good and getting beaten by me. So I started sort of playing up to him. I was like, telling him that he was really good, that he was kind of intimidating me and stuff, and he was getting all like pumped up and like, oh, really? I'm intimidating, huh? And then one of my teammates comes over and he's like, you're not really intimidated by him. And the guy turns around to look at me. I'm like, yes, I am. And as soon as he turns around, I looked at my friend. I'm like shaking my head.
Damn,
not really.
Damn, girl.
But I realized I was just doing it to make, because the guy was getting all upset that he was doing so badly.
At bocce ball?
Some of the people are very competitive.
Do you play East Portal?
Yeah.
Those people scare me a little bit. I wanted to join and I got nervous.
You were intimidated?
Anytime you want to go play, you let me know. I'm a member.
Well, you have VIP all over the place.
That's crazy. So that's funny because you've been trained to lie from the beginning. I get in trouble for telling the truth. People get very upset when they hear the truth.
Yeah.
To which I say, deal with it, a-hole. You know? It's the truth. The truth will set you free.
I think there's a fine line. You know, I think... I remember hearing people say, like, if you tell the truth, nothing bad can happen. That's a lie.
That's not true. That's not true.
So I think there's a fine line. Like, sometimes you just have to either say nothing or white lie a little.
I just saw earlier today, I was looking at Facebook, and my friend Annetta Lucero, who's a professional baton twirler that lives in Hawaii. Fun fact, you can be a professional baton twirler. But she had a thing on there, and it said, if you have the choice to be right or be kind, because being kind is always right.
I think there's some truth to that.
I would agree.
There's a little bit of truth to that. But at a certain time, if you leave...
All right, I'm moving my purse because Ace is having, eating it.
Ace is like having sex with your purse.
All right,
purse.
I turn your mic down.
I think
so you
cat's gay because he really loves handbags.
No, he just loves attacking anything that's new that comes in. And that's the chair where he sits and plays. That's probably not the best place to put it.
I think you need to accept the fact your cat is gay.
I think you need to stop assigning gayness to everything. I think that's really where we are.
Listen,
right now.
Listen, I know you got angry that I said your microphone stand was gay, but to be fair, it looked kind of gay. Ooh, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay, it's from a listener.
Okay.
Who wants to go unnamed, but they're very curious if you wear boxers or briefs.
Me?
Yeah.
I wear boxer briefs.
Aha, hybrid.
So, yes.
I love boxer briefs.
Yeah, they're just a lot more. I never really liked boxers because it was just too, for lack of a better term, freeing. And yeah, there at a certain point, you stop wanting your balls to swing free and you want to have a little support down there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I like having the fabric down, past the crotch area on the jeans. So
Paul and I just had this conversation. He sort of said the same thing.
Yeah, they're just really? A lot more comfortable. When boxer briefs actually evolved into something and something usable, I was very happy to find them because before that I was briefs because I just didn't like boxers for whatever, everything would just sort of hang out.
Flippy and, floppy.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. So that's...
Okay, secret listener, you got your answer.
There you go.
What about you, Larry?
I am strictly, well...
when you're not going commando.
I'm not going commando. I always wear briefs.
Tidy whiteys?
Tidy coloreds, usually.
They prefer African-American, Larry. Come on.
That's offensive. I have a very fun collection of underwear. I have Superman underwear.
Ooh, like underoos.
Mm-hmm, totally.
What was really funny is my friend Jim, who's not gay.
Hot Jim, by the way.
He has this tendency to want to take off his clothes and dance when he drinks. Especially in parties with people. And he had a birthday party.
Why have I never been at a party where that's happened?
He was at a birthday, his birthday party, not this year, but last year. And he was doing it, and there were pictures of him in his Batman underwear that,
awesome.
That were all up on Facebook. And then Larry hit me to the fact that that was a thing that gay guys do, is wear
1,000%
superhero underwear.
If you go to a gay bar and ask people to take off their pants, I'm going to say conservatively 35-45% of men are wearing Superman underwear.
Where do you get superhero underwear? Well, there's lots of
stores.
Walmart has them everywhere.
Yeah, the gays I know wouldn't get them at Walmart.
Well, no, they're far too fashionable for
you
that.
You can get them at Target, which is the white people's Walmart.
That's way better.
You can also order them online. There is an incredible selection. If you're ever feeling bored, people, I encourage you to Google International Mail. They've been renamed, but they sell men's loungewear and men's lingerie, etc. People will be floored at the range of male underwear and accessories that are available. It is incredible. Incredible. Hysterical.
Let me ask you this question, and I don't know, so this is a question completely, I don't even know why
Mel
I'm asking this.
Mel looks very confused.
She would. Do they actually make underwear that would have two separate pouches, one for the Frank and one for the beans?
Yeah, because it makes your cock look bigger.
It does?
That's hilarious.
Because you're able to put it like, do you know how women wear bras that lift their boobs? Guys can wear underwear that lift your balls, so when your cock is over it,
It makes your balls
looser and your cock tighter, so it looks bigger.
Got it.
Wow.
There's a whole range of things out there.
There's a helpful hint for you. If you're listening and you have a tiny cock, there's your tip for the day.
Fascinating.
Yeah. You can also buy underwear that has weights on like where your tip goes, so it weighs your cock down.
What? What? Hold on. Why in the name of God would I want to weigh down my cock?
Well, it's something what some guys do. It's how you make your cock longer, in theory.
Oh, for God's sake.
Now, luckily, being well endowed, I don't have this problem. There's a few things I don't have self-esteem or body issues about, and that's one of them. Oh, wow. That's a lot of sharing.
Larry's proud of his dick.
Wow.
That's what you just said.
I think it's a good dick.
Hey, you might as well
awkward.
Be proud of it.
But yeah, there's all kinds of accoutrement and accessories you can get to enhance and strengthen. There's like...
strengthen.
Yeah.
I'm picturing a little barbell. You're doing
That's
curls.
Exactly what I pictured.
Penis curls.
Yeah.
Wow.
People are really obsessed about shit like that. And turned on by stuff like that.
Hmm.
I think that's a little bit weird. I just prefer dude in like briefs. Like Kevin James in a pair of tidy whiteys. Sign me up.
All right. Hey, you know, if you're flying this summer, be prepared to kiss your family goodbye at the gate. And isn't this good family conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're on the same plane, airlines are reserving a growing number of window and aisle seats for passengers willing to pay extra. By the way, that's bullshit. That's helping to boost revenue, but also making it harder for friends and family members who don't pay the fee to sit next to each other. At the peak of the summer travel season, it might be nearly impossible. Buying tickets 2 or more months in advance makes things a little easier, but passengers are increasingly finding out the only way to sit next to a spouse, child, or friend is to shell out the extra $25 or more each way.
I mean, I feel like if you had a small child, they're going to accommodate you, and otherwise, who cares?
Who cares? Well, let's say you're flying with a family. Let's say you've got...
That's what I mean, unless you have kids.
Well, this isn't even with kids. You're not going to be able to sit next to your kid. Your three tickets might be in three separate rows.
I think most parents would love that.
Yeah, that would be great. Although people would definitely move seats. Be like, do you mind if we switch seats so I can sit next to my screaming child?
Yeah, my feeling is if you had kids 5 and under, they're going to figure out a way to accommodate that.
But they don't. That's the whole point.
They're going to sit some 5-year-old by themselves.
Yes.
No, they're not going to.
Yes, they are, and they're doing that. That's,
I bet you're wrong.
But I'm
I just
not
don't believe
wrong.
It.
Well, whether you believe it or not doesn't mean it's you wouldn't have believed people were lifting weights with their penises 5 minutes ago.
I don't think they're setting 5-year-olds by themselves.
This is a reason why Southwest Airlines
because
is the best.
Because then they'd have to
in the
watch
world.
Them and take care of them.
No, they don't, because it's just a matter of doing it that way. I mean, that's one of the ways they're raising revenue is by doing that.
Which is great because it makes airfares lower. I'd rather have that happen than airfares go up.
But it doesn't make airfares lower. What
it does.
But it does not. What it does is they're taking the airfares that you have and they're saying, oh, well, these seats, let's say this seat is a $200 seat in this row. Instead of saying, oh, well, this one's going to be 150 and these are going to be 200, they go, no, these two are going to be 225. So it doesn't make it cheaper at all. It just raises how much stuff.
So I'd be like, I'd say, fine, you want to sit my 5-year-old 10 rows away from me, then you deal with it when they start crying.
Yeah.
Okay. Parents don't think that way. Do you know
so
their parents?
So are you saying they're blackmailing people then? So if you want to sit by your kids, it's $25 more.
Essentially,
I'd say,
yes.
Fuck you, and I'd show up.
Essentially, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean,
that's stupid. I'd say, fine, fuck you. Then you deal with my kid when they cry and they're hungry.
The reason it's an issue...
And they're going to move your seats.
The reason it's an issue is because families generally, when you're flying with more people, try to get the cheapest seats possible, which you can't get any seats. It's an issue that airlines are encountering because... And this is where it really sucks to be an airline worker, for my friends that are, is because when you're working a gate and if you buy the cheapest seats possible, you generally now can't get seat assignments. So when you get there, they might only have 8 seats left, but they've already had people who've paid or who have status who have seats. So they have to ask people to move. And now they're getting into places occasionally, not really all that often, but because loads are so high in planes, because if you've traveled any, you know that almost all flights are almost always full all the time.
Right. They've
because
cut the
reduced the number of flights.
Yeah.
So because of that, they get in weird situations and people on planes get a little bit angry because they'll inevitably always. And this is why I generally only fly Southwest, because they're the best airline in the world. Is because if you have, they'll ask for people to move. And if you've paid money, generally people aren't going to be really willing to move. And so what they've had to do, the FAA regulations can't make people move. So it's just become this issue. I think it's stupid, but really families can get around it if they plan better. You should always have a seat assignment. And if you have kids, you can call ahead of time. It's people who are dumb, who've never traveled. And that just makes me nuts. Again, that's why everyone should fly Southwest Airlines, because there are no seat assignments.
There's that, but people are unwilling to move. And I was on a flight with my now ex-wife, and it was a plane with 6 seats all the way across, 3 on each side of the row. And I was on the window and she was in the middle. And then there was a lady next to her. And on the other side of the aisle was this lady's husband. And then there were 2 empty seats beyond that. And once it became evident that there was nobody else, and they were husband and wife, my ex-wife goes, hey, would you be willing to... you know, move over to the other side to, I mean, you'd be next to your husband and then we can have a little bit of room to stretch out. And her response was, no, we both prefer the aisle seat and we don't want to move. So a cross-country flight, she would prefer to sit there and squished in a row of 3 rather than be in the row with her husband and sit 2 people in 3 seats, which would have been the decent thing to do. But she preferred the aisle seat, so that's where she wanted to sit.
I think because I travel alone almost 99% of the time, I just can't relate. I don't care where I sit.
And well, I understand that, but the other thing is, I mean, your assertion that parents will go, well, you deal with my kid. No one with kids is going to think that way unless they really don't care for their kids. You see how people are ridiculously overprotective of everything their kids do?
I think it's one of those call the bluff kind of things. You're going to bribe me for money. I'm not going to pay the money. Fine. Because I think at the end of the day, when you show up at the gate with a 5-year-old, they're going to go, okay, we'll figure it out. They're not going to say, okay, well, if you're not willing to pay, then we're going to put a 5-year-old all by themselves 10 rows away.
Again, problem solved.
Because they don't
want to
deal with
Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
So speaking of being honest, Jerry Seinfeld got very honest with Andy Cohen on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live. He asked Jerry if there was a least favorite episode of his show. And Jerry Seinfeld, now you'd think, much like your kids, you won't name a favorite or a least favorite, but he did.
I think when you do that many, there's got to be a few that you're like, oh, that one was sucky.
The one he recounted was the one, and this is a quote, there was a one where we had a guy had a stroke and we were feeding him on the couch, he said, adding, I felt very uncomfortable with that episode. If by uncomfortable he means hilariously dark and funny, then probably many would agree. On the other hand, stealing a nice old lady's marble rye and being master of your domain, not to mention making out during Schindler's List, are apparently fine in Jerry's book. So this is the one where Kramer gets the one line in the Woody Allen film, boy, are these pretzels making me thirsty.
Yeah.
And it's also the one where George is moving parked cars for the car parking guy who's gone on vacation. And I think Elaine was dating this older gentleman, and she was getting ready to break up with him. And as she was getting ready to do it, he has a stroke.
Oh, God.
And their thought process is, oh, well, maybe he just has low blood sugar and they're trying to feed him cookies. So they're stuffing cookies in his mouth and moving his mouth.
Oh, that is funny.
So that's Jerry Seinfeld's least favorite episode of the show.
That's hilarious.
Oh, Andy Cohen, you sassy gay.
He's turning stuff up on people.
I never could watch Seinfeld. I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Never watched it. Not even a single episode.
Oh, no, I watched a couple episodes. I just didn't like it.
Hmm.
I know a number. I feel like that show, more so than many shows, there are people who really liked it or people who just were like, I don't think it's funny at all.
Well, the thing about Seinfeld is every character is incredibly unlikable.
Yeah.
And there's no one that you really want to root for because they're all really bad people in their own way.
Well, that's like Paul really liked It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are moments of that where I mean, there's funny lines and it's well written, but it's the same thing. I hate all the characters so much. I can't really say I like the show. I can appreciate the writing and the acting of it, but I just I don't like it because they're all idiots.
I feel the same way about Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Fuck those people raising 18 kids with cancer. I can't like them.
Oh,
that's really mean. That show got canceled, by the way, which is awful. Can you imagine being the producer of that show and calling families that you said you were going to pick and be like, I know that you just came back from Iraq and you have no limbs and you're raising 14 children that all have baby, you know, crabs or whatever. Like, how sad is that? I'm sorry you're not going to get a new house. ABC has decided to air, you know, the 19th edition of The Bachelor, you know, Palm Springs edition.
And even worse, Dog the Bounty Hunter was canceled.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. Poor Dog.
You like that show, don't you?
I used to watch it. I thought it was funny.
What did you think of his wife's boobs? What's going on there?
Beth is just a very oddly proportioned woman with giant knockers.
Would you motorboat her?
Who wouldn't? You'd have to.
Larry.
I mean, to be fair, I really like boobs. I think they're fun to play with at bars.
They're fun to play with anywhere. Just going to throw that out there. Just saying.
Speaking of, before Mel got here, Nate and I, not oddly enough, were watching the Adult Video News Awards.
The AVN Awards were on Showtime.
Which are the porn awards.
On Friday night, and I saw that come up, and I'm like...
You said come.
You know what? I'm going to DVR this. And because it was so... The pre-show stuff that they were doing was just so bad. Because some of the porn stars are actually able to speak on microphone and on camera and be reasonably intelligent. And others are just... so drug-addled and airheaded, it's absolutely ridiculous. And before Larry got here, they were doing this big, almost Cirque du Soleil type thing. There was this woman coming down from the ceiling on two curtains doing this acrobatic stuff. I mean, I got really bored after 5 minutes and fast-forwarded with it, but still, that was part of the open of the show. And Dave Attell is the host of the awards this year because he is also on Showtime. Mm. If you haven't seen it, he has a show called Dave's Old Porn. Which, it's a great premise for a show. Dave Attell brings in one of his comedian friends, and they watch parts of an old porno and comment on it, like a porn from the 80s. And they do that, and you see a little bit of it, and they comment on it. And then, like, the last 5 or 10 minutes of the show, they bring out one of the stars of the old porn to visit with them and talk about production. It's sort of like inside the actor's studio.
Porn edition.
But for old porn.
Nice.
So it's really very interesting. The other thing, I mean, you've got this 20, 30-year-old porn, and they bring out these women, and they're like 48, 50 years old. Because when they were doing it, they were 18.
Yeah.
I wonder how many they have to go through because how many women have died from overdoses or from other said things.
There's quite a few. Things. I mean, they've lost their fair share.
Well, you know I'm out of touch because when I came in and you told me you were watching Avian Awards, I thought it was about birds.
You did. Yeah. You're like, why are you watching an award show about birds?
Yeah.
You did come in during a good part where it was best oral sex scene, women, girl, girl, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, the two girls that won it, the title of the movie was like American Cum Slut Whores.
Yay.
It literally is one of those things. I think somewhere in a cave in Afghanistan, they're showing terrorists to be like, this is what they do in America.
Oh, you know, I think that's the best way to keep the terrorists at bay, because that would have them beating off the whole time. Death to America. I'm almost done. Almost done. Death to America.
Is AVN only straighty awards, or is it also gay porn?
I do not know. I've never actually watched the AVN awards. I was just really surprised to see it on Showtime. So I'm like, oh, well, let me see what's going on here. Let's see kind of how it goes. Because I'm like, I'm always looking for something interesting to talk about. And I thought that would be something a little bit different.
Porn awards are interesting.
Because, you know, like half the people in gay porn are actually straight dudes. Gay for pay.
Hmm. Well, it was just like your question when you walked in. You're like, do they show clips from the movies?
They did. Ew, they showed girls doing things with things and exchanging things inside with their mouths.
Oh, okay. Speaking of which.
Yeah.
I have to tell you guys something kind of funny. I don't know. My friend might get a little bit annoyed with me for telling the story.
Do it.
But I have a friend with a young son. And apparently this young son was over at a friend's house. And they saw something gross, and he said,
uh-oh,
that's grosser than two girls and one cup.
Oh, no.
How old is he?
8.
Oh, fuck no.
Well, so the father of the at the house he was at freaks out. Everybody freaks out. Well, it turns out the kid only knew that it was whatever that was gross. But when it turned out what he had seen, it was like some cartoon. Where they were making fun of it like 10 times removed. So he'd actually never seen the video and he didn't know anything about it. But the mother, when she first heard that,
because
when I talked to her the first time, it was like, oh my God, he told them it was grosser than two girls, one cup. And how would he even know what that is? And she was freaking out. And she had to go deal with the dad and she had to deal with her son. And then he's like, Mom, it's when, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! And his, you know, and his favorite guitar get lost and they get covered in mud. And then there's these two girls. She's like, what? And apparently it was like some cartoon.
Or he's an incredible liar on the spot.
I could be too.
I doubt it, but.
Well, the other thing is he might not have actually seen Two Girls, One Cup. What he might have seen is the videos of people reacting to it.
Yeah, well, I think actually it was something kind of like that, but cartoons. So it right. was literally oh like many, God. Many times removed.
Can you imagine having to explain that to like a 12-year-old?
No.
It's hard enough to explain to anyone now.
Oh,
he's an adult. But I never understood what that was until I watched it.
So you've actually seen the video.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh. It was, I made me pray for straight people.
I won't. I've never seen it.
You don't want to.
No, I don't. I don't.
It literally
don't
was
to.
Maybe one of the most repulsive things I've ever seen.
Well, the first time I ever heard of it was when late comedian Robert Schimmel went on Adam Carolla's radio show, and he says, I have a video to show you. And they're like, well, we'll look at it during break. And they came back from break, and Adam Carolla, who's, you know, makes great reference to the fact that he's watched a lot of porn and beaten off, and he's like, I think Robert Schimmel just raped my psyche.
And you can't get those images out of your head.
You can't unsee that.
The best is when they did it on Family Guy.
And oh,
they had
yeah.
Brian watching that. It and commenting. It was super funny. It was like such a spoof of it.
Mm. Now, to inject a little class into things. The Briton credited with designing some of Apple's most revolutionary products, the iPod, iPhone, iPad, iMac, was knighted by Princess Anne on Wednesday.
Wow.
Jonathan Ivey, Apple's Senior Vice President of Industrial Design, was made a Knight Commander, Order of the British Empire, in a ceremony at Buckingham Palace.
Sir Jonathan.
He is now entitled to call himself Sir. He told the Daily Telegraph in a rare interview that the knighthood was, quote, incredibly humbling. So he's 45, born in London, and lives in San Francisco. So he's been knighted. He is a Sir.
That's pretty cool.
But he doesn't even live in England, so that brings us.
He's one of their citizens.
I know.
It's true.
Well, is he? Is he still? We don't know.
More or less.
So it brings us now to our original segment on the show. It's time for
cool.
First up, airlines for charging premium prices for aisle and window seats. Larry, you're the traveler.
Cool, because as a traveler, I support anything that airlines can get additional revenue without having to raise ticket costs, because I'm a travel snob and I like that.
Mel?
I don't care. I'm cool because if it makes them money, they have a right to do that, and I don't care where I sit, so it doesn't affect me one way or the other.
You're both wrong. They're incredible tools because they're not lowering. Your assertion that they're lowering prices or keeping prices down is bullshit. It's specious at best. They're raising prices.
Did you just say specious?
I said it's specious. They are raising prices. They're looking for ways anywhere they can to wring an extra dollar out of the traveler, and it's complete and utter bullshit. They've cut the number of flights they have so they don't have seats, and now they're trying to nickel and dime you out of everything, from charging you bag fees to charging you for food to charging you for something to drink. And
you know,
even
it used to be that flying was just for the elite, and you wore your Sunday best, and you know, and only the people that could afford it did it. And I guess, you know, if that's, it's not a right. It's a thing that if you have the money to do it, you'd get to do it, I guess. And if they get to a point where I can't travel, then I won't. But
right, but a lot of people who live in other parts of the country, I mean, you don't live near your family.
None of us do.
So, exactly. So when you're doing stuff like that to people who, for a lot of people, they had to move to other parts of the country for their careers. Their choice was, well, you can stay here or you can move to this other place and keep your job. And a lot of people have done that. And I just think it's a bullshit hidden charge that they keep throwing in for people. I mean, charging extra for an aisle or a window seat, pick one. Don't be like, well, no, we're going to be charging. You get charged the base rate for the middle seat. Well, it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's why if you're platinum on American, you get to pick whatever seat you want. So I don't understand why this is a problem.
By the way, American Airlines is awful. It's awful. And while I do like Southwest, I think JetBlue is probably the best airline.
I would disagree.
I know. That's where we can agree to disagree. All right, up next in Cooler Tool, Jerry Seinfeld for naming a least favorite episode. Mel, what do you think?
I think it's cool because I think it's funny and kind of ballsy. And, you know, you have to have a favorite and a least favorite. When you've done as many episodes as they did, I don't think it's that big of a deal to pick one. And he picked one. And I think it's funny. Mm-hmm.
Larry?
Cool, ditto. Same reasons.
I think it's cool on one hand because he actually answered the question. On the other hand, for not picking that finale, which was the biggest steaming pile of crap in the history of mankind.
I don't think it was that bad. It brought everyone back. You clearly did not watch the series finale of L Word, which was the worst ending in TV history.
I did not.
I thought The Sopranos was. I always heard The Sopranos was bad.
The Sopranos was unfulfilling. The Seinfeld one was disappointing on more levels because at least The Sopranos one, you had that. There was a tension. There was a buildup. There was everything you expected from The Sopranos, except it didn't wrap it up. It didn't give you a conclusion. And that's why a lot of people didn't like that. And I get that. I kind of felt the same way. The Seinfeld finale was long. It was like an hour long. There was nothing funny about it. And it was just awful. I mean, it's one of the most lauded comedies in television history. And they went out on the least funny hour I've seen on TV since Two Girls, One Cup. I'm just kidding.
Ew.
That's sad. My uterus hurts so bad right now. I want to like make a
verbalize. Are you menstruating?
Yes. I just want to like yell or moan. It's that uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
Just, do you need to take some Midol?
I will probably take something when I get home. It's just horrible.
Do you want me to give you a pelvic massage?
That would be great.
I will.
It's that intense like pressure inside your body that's like, oh, it hurts.
Is it like really bad diarrhea?
It's like that feeling that when you like feel like you're going to have to go in about 5 minutes feeling that. Oh, God.
Like
I'm starting
extreme
to get,
gas?
Yeah.
By the way,
pressure.
By the way, I want to say that my kitten Ace is being very good right now. He's asleep between Mel and I on the couch, and he's using your packet of tissues as a pillow.
Oh, I know, it's really cute.
It's adorable. Really cute. Finally, in Cooler Tool, England for knighting the Apple dude who doesn't even live in England anymore. Mel?
I just think knighting people is cool. So I'm going to say cool, and he's a citizen, I'm sure, or he has dual citizenship, because I'm not sure that they can knight him if he's not a citizen anymore. So, and he's done some cool stuff, and he invented some cool shit, so yay, Sir Jonathan.
Ditto.
All right, I'll give in on this one. I think it's fine. It's fine. I mean, if that's the way that the royal family brings everything into a more modern time by knighting somebody who's responsible for eye things, so be it.
I mean, there's lots of they knight people for strange stuff anyway, I think. But there's a lot of people that I think that are knighted that don't actually live. That live here or live in other countries.
I think you can be knighted as long as you have British ancestry.
Yeah.
Very, very fair. All right, moving on. It's time for the Iron Sheik tweet of the week.
Oh, God.
The Iron Sheik, man, I don't know where this came from. I know he's been watching the NBA a lot. And Indiana was just eliminated from the playoffs. And Rick Smits used to be a center for the Indiana Pacers a long time ago. I haven't even heard his name in about 10 years or so. So this surprised me when I saw the Iron Sheik tweet, and I quote, "Rick Smits worse than Hitler."
Wow.
Bam.
I mean, I know Rick Smits is, I believe he's German, but I don't believe he's worse than Hitler. So I'm going to have to disagree with the Iron Sheik on that one.
That was the whole tweet?
That was it.
Wow.
And I looked backward and forward to see if there'd be some sort of clarification for it, and absolutely not. Just out of nowhere. Yeah.
Iron Sheik, I tell you what.
That's how Cher tweets. If you don't follow Cher on Twitter, you really need to. The bitch gets drunk and then starts writing crazy ass shit.
I bet they're the same person. The Iron Sheik and Cher.
It's the same drunk PR assistant.
Oh, it's terrible. Now, you remember our fellow who had the 30 kids?
Right, right. And wanted them to help him pay.
Right, because he had a minimum wage job,
right,
according to the news report. Well, apparently, he's a convicted felon whose baby-making ability has been hampered for the past 3 years because he's in a state prison.
So we got duped by that formal article to some extent?
Yeah, by the TV news report, the story of Desmond Hatchett's fertility and related inability to pay child support returned to the news last week when a Memphis TV station, we played the clip, reported that he was back in court this week seeking the state's help with the support payments. The LA Times noted that Hatchett is, quote, struggling to make ends meet on his minimum wage job, which would likely come as a surprise to him because he's been locked up for the past 33 months.
Wasn't there like video or a picture of him sitting like in a welfare office on the floor?
I don't even remember, but yeah, he's been sentenced to 6 years in prison for aggravated assault, but had the majority of that term suspended in lieu of enhanced probation. He quickly violated the probation terms by getting arrested for domestic violence, violating curfew, and lying about his whereabouts to a probation officer. He's now imprisoned in the Morgan County Correctional Complex. His sentence is sentenced to expire in November 2014, so he's still got another 2.5 years. He's lost 2 parole bids, most recently this past December, and like other Tennessee inmates, he's not allowed conjugal visits.
Doesn't it seem like media reports more and more are wrong, and we're finding out after the fact that they're messing up?
Yeah, media sucks.
Like, what happens now as a result of that? Like, who, like, what does the news station that did the report have to say about it? Who did their fucking research?
Well,
some girl named Sarah that was fifth runner-up for Miss Tennessee and got a job because she looks pretty.
Well, that was not the anchor who read the story at all. This was a veteran anchor. Somebody got word of it, and for some reason it sort of spun out of control. That's why it's important to check stuff out and actually get it right. But the thing was, this went viral, so it went all over the country. And so found out on thesmokinggun.com that he is in jail. He's not making any more kids, and he's also not making any support payments.
Was it the right amount of kids? Did he really have 30 kids?
He does have 30 kids.
That's impressive.
Absolutely.
It's like Brian Crawl sperm.
Aww.
He's got strong sperm.
Okay. All right. Moving on. I never thought we'd mention Brian's sperm tonight, but there you go.
Hello to Brian Crawl sperm if you're listening.
He has an iPod next to his scrotum right now.
And I don't know if he has a big dick, but he might like the one underwears because I know he has big balls and they could, like,
yeah, I wonder,
push everything up.
Yeah, from everything I've heard, no, he does not. He, in fact, will admit that he does not, but he does have large balls.
But his balls are big.
Yeah.
It's... That's the strangest visual ever. Anyway.
He should get enhancing underwear.
Sure. Mm.
That's what they're called.
Sure. Well, that's maybe a 4th of July gift. Who knows? Up in Washington State, bless you, a Washington couple has been charged with leaving two of their young children unattended in the family's running minivan while they spent 90 minutes shopping at a Hustler Hollywood outlet where they dropped $430 on adult novelty items.
Wow, that's a good shopping trip.
I'm glad they're keeping their marriage spicy.
Justin and Kelly Hyatt, both 23, are scheduled to be arraigned on Thursday on a misdemeanor count filed last week in Tacoma Municipal Court. According to the police department report, the cops were summoned to the Hustler Hollywood store in early February after a witness spotted two boys aged 3 and 4 alone inside a Chrysler Town and Country minivan parked outside the business. The witnesses reported that the children were left unattended for at least an hour. Turns out 90 minutes. While officers approached the Hyatts inside the Hustler store, Justin Hyatt was carrying another small child in his arms.
Good for them.
Police reported Hyatt is an Army soldier stationed at Joint Base Lewis McCord outside of Tacoma. The Hyatts told cops they thought it was, quote, okay to leave the boys outside in the van because they parked in front of the store and they could see the vehicle. One cop then noted the couple did not see him peering into the vehicle, nor did he see them looking out at the minivan from inside the Hustler store. The officer also warned that it only takes a second or two for some individuals to get into the running vehicle with the children in it and steal the car.
I'm going to guess that those are people that are not going to pay extra to sit by their kids on the plane.
Probably not. When an officer asked why one of them did not wait inside the minivan while the other shopped, neither Kelly nor Justin Hyatt answered the question.
Because we can never agree on which dildo to get.
I know, you can't.
I wanted the rabbit, but he wanted anal beads.
I mean, the cops have obviously never been to like a Blockbuster store with their significant other, because that is like the fifth ring of hell, figuring out what you're going to watch. You have to figure out what you're going to
watch. Could you imagine, like, you just run in and pick the movie? Oh, hell no.
It's like, I'm just going to run in and get the, I'm just going to run in and get you a new dildo, and you come back out. Oh, that's way too big.
Paul and
Bring
I can't even
back.
Go to the grocery store and figure out, like, which kind of bacon or, you know, which kind of
I
apples.
I want to send you guys with, a microphone and go to a porn store to see how you guys do.
Oh, my God. In a hidden camera. I would love to have a hidden camera just follow the two of you into places.
Ridiculous.
It would be awesome.
Would you want a big dildo or a smaller dildo?
I'm going to move on from that comment.
Mel just said a huge. She said a big black cock. BBC.
Hey, I hate you so much. You know who's not interested in cock, apparently? Jillian Michaels from The Biggest Loser.
Duh.
Delving into motherhood at full throttle, though. The trainer has not one but two new little ones at home. After a two-year journey, Michaels finally became a mother to the Haitian girl she had long been matched with. The lengthy adoption process was completed earlier this month, and she brought Lucanacia home to Los Angeles. Coincidentally, the very week the one-time Biggest Loser trainer completed her adoption of Lucanacia, her partner Heidi Rhodes gave birth to a son. The baby boy, who they named Phoenix, was born on May 3rd. We're swimming in babies over here, Michaels tells People. I don't even answer email. I don't have time to care about anything else. I really want to be present and enjoy all the nuances of their growth and development. I don't want to rush any of it. So I not that I paid attention. I guess that is good, but I didn't know she was lesbian because I never paid attention at all. Sorry.
Is her partner like a big secret? Because I see the cover of People magazine and it's Jillian and the two kids, but the lady that actually gave birth to the one kid, not on the cover.
She's always been out. She just has never been like... Her private lights. Lesbians tend to do that. Like, if you think of famous lesbians who aren't with other famous lesbians, or lesbians are very not in the public eye.
Well, and part of the, I don't know if this is part of the reason for it, but man, the whole thing with Melissa Etheridge and her former partner is
crazy.
Nasty support stuff going on.
Which is why gay people need marriage laws so we can also have divorce laws. Because it gets really fucked up.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of stuff like that going on. It's unfortunate, all but right. they apparently have come to an agreement that would take care of all of that. All right. Show's moving along, isn't it, peeps?
Yeah, I'm sorry I sneezed.
That's okay.
I didn't even hear you sneeze.
I'm trying to be quiet about it. I did
say bless you, so that's okay. It's perfectly fine.
I still think you're pregnant.
I don't think you're pregnant.
If I'm pregnant, then that means I'm having an affair.
Uh-oh.
Oxidative vasectomy.
Maybe one got through.
I have hugged you kind of close lately.
Oh, my.
Yeah, maybe one got through. Maybe a strong rogue made it through the line.
But all my insides are coming out. There's nothing for it attached to right now.
Maybe one of those atopical pregnancies.
My uterus is shedding.
Mm,
That's my favorite. Uterus shred is my favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor. Or chunky period.
Oh, didn't we already do that one last week?
We might have.
That was coffee period.
Ew.
Well, this music means only one thing. It's time for Bad Cop, Worst Cop. It's Mel's favorite segment. We'll start out with Bad Cop. This, and I determine one to be worse than the other, but that's just me. First one's a New York Police Department officer to a suspect who said, and I quote, "My dick will go in your mouth." NYPD sergeant has been caught on video threatening several Brooklyn men with his gun and with sexual assault. I don't really think he meant to sexually assault them or threaten them with it, but the cell phone video obtained by the New York Post shows Sergeant Leslie Charles launching into a profane tirade while talking to several men who are suspected of criminal behavior. This is the quote. "I have a long dick. You don't," Charles says. "Listen to me. When you see me, you look the other way. Tell your boys I don't fuck around. I'll take my gun and I'll put it up your ass, and then I'll call your mother afterwards, okay? And I'll put your own shit in your mouth, all right?"
Wow.
I'm slightly turned on by that.
"You guys are hustling or whatever, and I ain't got no problem with that," he adds. "But when I come around and I speak, You fucking listen. Tell your boys. Your pretty face, I like it very much. My dick will go in your mouth and come out your ear. Don't fuck with me.
Yes, sir.
According to the Post, 21-year-old man who recorded the video was arrested that evening for disorderly conduct. More than 20 earlier arrests included charges relating to larceny, weapons, and drugs. Reached at home by the paper, Charles explained he was, and I quote, just doing God's work.
You know.
He added, you know I can't comment. Have a blessed day.
I like him. I don't care. If you had him on Cooler Tool, I wouldn't be able to make a tool out of him.
A source close to Charles said he was simply, quote, trying to get the message across in a way they could understand.
You know, I get it. Like, I've had those days where you're fed up. You've arrested the same guy every weekend for the last 10 weeks, and you just want to punch him in the face, and sometimes you just want to scare him or threaten him or wring their necks or call their moms, and you just figure there's got to be another way to communicate. And some people only hear things if you say them a certain way.
Right. Well, I don't know.
No, I'm not saying what he did was right, but I get it.
I don't particularly have a problem with him because I don't think he would threaten to do any of those things to me. But he has a very the fact that he comes back and goes, I was doing God's work, because I have something. Anybody who says have a blessed day, I often wonder what sort of darkness lies behind those eyes.
Big dick. Wow. That's going to go in your mouth and out your ear.
It's your ear.
He should do gay porn.
Maybe that's his secret past. Well, that's bad cop, but this is worse cop. Ex-trooper smelled of alcohol, had trouble standing. What? In Haverhill, newly obtained police reports show former state trooper Charles Noyes smelled of alcohol, could not maintain his balance, and had no memory of slamming his Cadillac Escalade into a utility pole in West Newbury before driving into Haverhill with his airbags deployed. But Haverhill police did not arrest the 62-year-old highly decorated trooper or charge him with drunken driving after his mangled luxury SUV was found in the travel lane on Amesbury Line Road within minutes of the West Newbury accident. And Haverhill officials are still refusing to say exactly why that happened.
Professional courtesy.
Sure. Quote, this investigation will be completed when I feel that we've done everything necessary to obtain all the relevant facts regarding this incident, Haverhill Public Safety Commissioner Alan DeNaro said in a public email to the Eagle Tribune reporter yesterday. Quote, we will not be rushed to accommodate your mandated timetable. That's right. Police reports that referred to Noyes smelling of alcohol and gave other details of his condition were written by West Newbury police officers Daniel Cena and Royster Johnson. By the way, that's my favorite new name, Royster Johnson. That's a gay porn name.
It definitely is.
Mm-hmm. When asked yesterday to comment on the West Newbury police reports, Noyes lawyer Randy Chapman said a Haverhill police report exists that indicates a Haverhill patrolman did not detect an odor of alcohol or that Noyes was unsteady on his feet. The patrolman's street supervisor also did not make observations of an odor of alcohol or unsteadiness. It appears to be based on all the evidence that there was no reason to ask him to perform any field sobriety test. Are you kidding me?
So basically, the cop from the other town turned it over to his town, and then they did nothing. You know who I feel bad for is the original officer that wrote that stuff in his report, that he did smell of alcohol, because that guy is going to get thrown under the bus.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's cops covering up for cops, which is fine if you're talking about a little incident. When you're talking about a guy driving drunk who could have killed people, he was so fucking drunk he drove his Escalade into a light pole and then drove into town with airbags deployed. Just because you were so drunk that it didn't hurt you, that doesn't mean that it's okay to cover it up, man. It just isn't.
There was one of those when I was a cop.
These things happen all the time.
Yeah, they said a deer ran out in front of him.
Okay.
And then somebody else took him home. And somebody else had the vehicle towed and said that it was a deer. And that was the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It happens occasionally, but it's not right. You've got to hold the people that are enforcing the laws up to the same standard as everybody else.
And they have to know they're not above the law.
And I understand he put a ton of years in serving the public, and he did a lot of good things. And you know what? You know where that's going to be reflected? In sentencing, if that comes down to it. That's where he probably gets probation and not put in jail or whatever.
But he's not exempt from the law.
That exactly.
That drives me crazy. Cops that think they're not, you know, that they're better. It doesn't count for them.
I feel the same way, unless they're hot, because then hot cops should get off.
All right. Well,
with me.
Oh, Larry.
That's bad cop, worse cop. Now, our friend Jeremy is stationed over in South Korea.
Yeah.
And I heard about this little video. It's a lady teaching people how to order Coke, you know, Coca-Cola.
Sure.
In Korean. So I thought this would help. I emailed it to him, or I sent it to him on Facebook. I hope he had a chance to watch it, but I thought I'd share it with everybody else on the show.
All right. Okay. This is last one. Let's take review. Do you have caulk? Remember caulk? It's not caulk in Korean. What's caulk? Cola. Cola. So do you have? What do you have? Good. So caulk. Cola 있어요? Cola 있어요? And they said yes. What's yes? Simple. 네. 네.
Mel, do you have caulk?
I love caulk.
Please give me caulk.
Sure.
Oh, please give me caulk.
Handy, you have to know how to ask for caulk.
Please give me caulk. Caulk?
Could she say it any more times?
Please give me. What's please give me? Good. Cola 주세요. Cola 주세요. And ask them the price of caulk.
How much is caulk?
How much is caulk? All right.
Dinner and a movie.
Poor lady.
Well, to be fair, she did put the thing out there. All right.
That's what he said.
It's true. All right. Well, we've reached the end of the show already.
Good. My uterus needs a little rub.
It's been done, Paul.
Larry.
Paul, pay attention. That means it's time for small town news.
Small town news, small town news. Everybody loves that small town news.
Yeah, small town news. We go to Ellenburg Center, New York. It's way upstate near the Canadian border. Headline, cell phone use leads to cow deaths.
What?
No humans were hurt, but 5 dairy cows were gravely injured after being struck by a Katyville man who was checking his email while driving. Ellenburg-based state police said Kyle D. Mattoon, 33, told them he was reading an email on his BlackBerry while driving on Star Road near the intersection of Bohan Road just before noon on Tuesday when he struck multiple cows with his 2010 Dodge Caravan.
Ouch.
Yeah, dick. By the way, it's been illegal for about 8 or 10 years now to use your handheld cell phone while driving in New York State. Farmer Keith Breyer of Star Road in Ellenburg said he was guiding his herd of about 200 dairy cows across the intersection, which is clearly marked with cattle crossing signs, when he saw Mattoon's vehicle approaching. That's actually pretty common. You've got, if you're in a farmland area where people will have to herd the animals across the road, and there are signs up so that you know, so you can keep an eye out for, oh, by the way, there's a whole herd of cows crossing
the road.
They're
usually pretty hard to miss.
Moo.
Yeah. So the farmer said he waved his arms to get the driver's attention before jumping out of the way, but Mattoon was unable to stop in time to avoid hitting the animals. And while the people sustained no injuries in the accident, 5 cows were immediately put down. At least 10 others were hurt during the chaos following the accident because, of course, they ran off because they were spooked. Police said that with the help of neighbors and friends, the farmer was able to round up all the animals and assess their condition. Some of the injured cows are likely crippled, so they're going to have to be sold to meatpacking plants. 2 of the cows belong to his 14-year-old son, Matthew. Aww. They were my boy's show animals. He showed them at fairs and such, Breyer added. That's a quote, by the way, and such. So, the guy who did it was issued a ticket for using his cell phone while driving. Says he feels terrible about the accident.
Doesn't he get, like, murder charge for animal murdering?
Nope, it's property. It's property damage. So he can be sued for property damage, but in terms of the law, he just was using his cell phone. It's like a $50 ticket. I feel really bad, and I thank the Lord no one was hurt, he told the Press Republican. Okay, assholes, get your fucking head out of your ass beforehand, and then you don't have to thank the Lord that you didn't kill a person, dicks. The farmer said he has insurance, but he's still worried about the financial impact of losing the animals. If they're really banged up, you only get about $300 each. That's if they go to slaughter, but it costs $2,000 per cow to replace them. I got insurance, but that takes a while to go through.
Wow,
so,
that's just sad.
Yeah, because some dickhead had to check his fucking BlackBerry, this farmer's life, to borrow a line from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, turned upside down. Cows are dead, another bunch are going to slaughter. And this 14-year-old kid, and speaking as a 14-year-old farm kid, the animals that you have that you're preparing to go to the county fairs with, and we're just getting into the point of the year now where you're just getting started with the training and all that, that devastates that kid's summer. for a lot of reasons, because that's you make a little bit of money when you do that, and usually that's the money that you're packing away for savings and stuff like that. So it's small town news, not basically because the guy hit cows, and that's not going to happen in the middle of the city most often,
unless you're in India.
But I think it pretty much does highlight the fact that if you've got your cell phone out when you're driving, it's not just, oh, I might not see that guy on the bicycle. You might miss a herd of 200 cows crossing the road.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not safe. So don't do it.
Yeah.
What a fun way to end a comedy show, huh?
Yeah, I feel sad. Poor cows.
Yeah, so hey.
The girl on Glee got crippled because she was texting.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
Wait,
but
what?
Now she got a full scholarship to Yale, so it all equals out.
Mm.
It all works out.
Well, thank God for that. I love that afterward. Well, thank God.
No, yeah.
Thank God that I didn't hurt
we
more
should
people.
Fundraise and send that man a cow.
Yeah, we should do something. I mean, we should do? We should fundraise and send the guy who hit his cows a punch in the face.
Yeah.
Maybe a kick in the groin, too.
Yeah.
And then some support underwear from Larry's special underwear store.
That we can buy on Amazon.
It's not my special underwear store.
No, it is now. Larry's special underwear store.
Larry'sUnderwearEmporium.com.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show this week. I want to remind you, if you're going to be shopping Amazon anyway, shop Amazon through our site, NateDarlingShow.com. Click the tab up at the top that says Shop Amazon Through Us. You get the same great Amazon prices, and it helps out the show. Helps us do cool things and fun things. And new on-demand Super Show is up now if you want to check that out, too. That's some fun. It's probably our best show yet. We're up to our fifth show, so we're starting to get into the groove with that.
Coming pros.
Well, we're trying. We're as pro as we can be with someone named Chainsaw as a co-host.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I need to ask a question of Eric. Eric from Portland, if you're still listening, I need you to give me your locals' opinion about Voodoo Donuts. Okay, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Feel free to email us.
I've been to Voodoo Donuts. I think they're fantastic.
I love it, but I've heard some things from locals, and he's my local source.
Mm, fair. Very, very fair. Also, we've got some other things that are going to be coming to the Nate Darling Show, at least to the feed. Can't talk about them yet, but they're coming very, very soon. It's going to be extra bonus stuff for you. So that's how we take the little bit of money that we get from you guys shopping through Amazon and put it right back into the show. It's more content and more entertainment for you.
It's going to be the Nate Darling Show at night, starring Mel and Larry. Yeah, I'll show you your pelvic exam.
Oh.
Yeah, you want me to ride your kitty into your salad colander?
Do it.
You want some croutons?
Do it hard.
All right, with that, we're going to say adieu for another week.
Meow.
Adieu, adieu.
I'm taking my uterus and I'm going home.
Yeah, you do. Don't leave it here.
Okay.
I've got no use for it. Leave you with some Garbage, their new song, Automatic Systematic Habitat. We'll see you next week.
Bye.